Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and welcome to my podcast, CPA Review and More. We talk about CPA review topics if you are studying for the CPA exam. All right. However, we also have more. I would say that the podcast is going more to more. That sounds good. It's going to more because, you know, how much do you want to hear about the CPA exam? We want dynamic guests, all right? People whose name you'll remember, who you probably won't remember the name anyway, but we try to make sure you'll know these people, and they all have different, it's interesting, they have different things they are really good at. Now, our guest today is Geraldine Carter, and she is, interestingly enough, she has an engineering background. She's not a CPA, but she advises CPAs. And I don't know what that says about CPAs, you know. most people can't advise themselves, right? Is that true?
Yeah, right? It's really difficult to see your label when you're in the jar.
Would you say that CPAs are the worst businessmen based on the fact that you have to help them?
I don't think that that's a fair characterization. I think all business owners struggle in one way or another. Most of us don't get taught entrepreneurship and business in college. Even if we do get an MBA, it's still different. So I see business owners of all stripes having knowledge that they come with and still having areas that they don't really know about that would be really useful to make their business run more better, more profitably and more easily.
You went to Cornell. Are you from New York?
I'm from Connecticut originally.
Oh, okay. Okay, what part of Connecticut?
The northwest corner, a tiny one-stop light town called New Hartford.
Well, Hartford's where all the insurance companies are, right?
Yes, yeah, so 30 miles west.
Oh, gee, all right. And, well, Cornell is one of the Ivy League universities, for those who don't know that, and a Bachelor of Science in Civil and Environmental Engineering. Wow. And you're an associate certified coach. What are you certified in?
So there's a governing body that governs the education, the training, and the licensing of coaching. And I'm certified as an associate certified coach, which means I've met the minimum requirements. And truth be told, I've let that license go just because there's so much out there and so much that I need to learn on behalf of my clients, that where my time and energy is best spent is focusing on CPAs and what makes their businesses run better, run more easily, and how to get better results out of CPAs and accountants so that they can have more enjoyable and thriving lives instead of this working 80 hours a week all year long business.
What is your best form of advertising, marketing, to get people to come to you?
Sure. So, like you, I have a podcast where I talk about strategy, business strategy for CPAs and accountants. And in it, I talk about pricing, how to get off of hourly billing, talk about how to niche and how to specialize, and just how much better that is for your business and how much better it is for your clients. So, most of my marketing is via my podcast because, as you know, I live in the middle of nowhere in the mountains of Idaho. So it's difficult, especially during COVID times, to get found.
But you know what? This time of year, it is beautiful, isn't it?
It is gorgeous, although I won't say it too loud because it's already busy.
All right. Don't go to Sun Valley. She's near Sun Valley, Idaho. All right. And by the way, it is, I've been there once. And you know what? The day I was there, I'll never forget this. The lottery was the Powerball, I guess it was. It was at, I don't know what the amount was. It was outrageously, actually good. So I had this thing, you know, I said, gee, I hear a voice and it says, go buy lottery tickets. Okay. So I said to my wife, because I was playing tennis with a gentleman who was part of this group. And I said to my wife, go buy some lottery tickets. So what did she buy? Two tickets, okay? Well, what's the chance of winning the lottery? One in a trillion or something? But, you know, so we sat there when they announced that, you know, P1, whatever it is, sound like bingo. Anyway, we didn't win the money, you know?
Oh.
And I thought to myself, whoever was talking to myself, I was talking to myself, and I should seek therapy. But no, we didn't win, but that's what I remember. And we were sitting inside where the Sun Valley Inn is, with the skating rink there. A lot of, yeah, they probably still have that. And we were, yeah, having, it was a beautiful day. I mean, low humidity, which I'm not used to. And we were having lunch right by the rink. And I thought that was the nicest. Oh, that was, you're very lucky to be there. Do you ski also? Are you a skier?
I do. I got 70 days in this winter. It was fantastic.
Was there snow? You had enough snow? Or was it?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's always good. Any day that I can get up on the hill is a good day, right? There's so much to be grateful for. And the more I can get outside, the better. So it doesn't have to be pristine all the time. Any day when I get to go up is good.
You're very fortunate. Now, you were born and I'm a terrible skier, okay? When I finally did learn, which was probably in the age of 30s or 40s, not the decade, but my age, 30, 40s, I was petrified to go down those mountains. I really were.
Yeah.
And I never graduated beyond the green slopes. And yeah, if I could get down, I felt like that was the greatest success that I had. It was terrific. I mean, God, I haven't been skiing in years. You know what it is, though? The air gets thin up there, doesn't it?
It does, yes. Yep.
So I went up and I hadn't been up there in a while. And all of a sudden I'm coming down and I'm getting air, what is it? Heights, what do they call that?
Yeah, you can kind of get altitude sickness. And
yeah, I had a bad altitude. But, you know, so I called the ski patrol. I mean, and they had to take me down. You know, it was embarrassing, you know, but, and everyone just keeps going.
That's what hats and goggles are for.
Is that what they're for? Gee, I didn't know that. Okay. But anyway. Going back to what we, you do this coaching. Now, tell me exactly, a CPA firm, who do you deal with? Who are your clients?
So my best clients are typically solo CPAs, because I like when I can work with people who can make decisions quickly. I don't like when things get caught up in committee. So I work with solo CPAs typically in the 500 to 2 million range in annual revenue. That often means they have a staff of something like 5 to 10, right, in that range. And oftentimes they'll have a client roster of 1,000 clients and they're working 80 hours a week and they complain about being on the hamster wheel with no idea how to get off it. And there's just no end in sight. And the last 18 months have been hellish for countless CPAs. Right, we see this, you know, if you listen in the Facebook groups, they're really, really struggling. So I help them get off that hamster wheel by helping them with things that don't get taught in accounting school, at least as far as I can tell. And namely, those things are how to price instead of how to bill, how to focus on results and outcomes for your best clients, because that's where the most value is. And your fees follow value, right? The more value you can provide, the higher you can raise your prices. And the third thing is how to niche and specialize. There's a terrible case of generalism in this profession where people want to believe that they can be all things for all people. They can help you no matter what kind of business you do, whether you have a manufacturing business or you run a pharmacy or you've got a running shoe store where you're a consultant, lawyer. Most CPAs will think to themselves, I can help that person. And that may be true that you can help that person, but the more you try and be all things to all people, the more you're a jack of all trades, the less you're a specialist, the harder it is to provide value. So we focus on getting prices in the right place, figuring out, focusing on results and outcomes, and specializing or getting into a niche. And when we do those three things, the entire firm can change in 3 to 4 months. It happens really quickly. It doesn't need to be an 18-month process. We step on the accelerator and we get the CPA off the hamster wheel for once and for all so that they can start becoming significantly more profitable. We get their margins up into, you know, from the teens up into the 40s. And we get their work hours from 80 hours down to 60, down to 50, down to 40, down to 30.
Do you believe in hourly billing or value? You know, what, in other words, a lot of CPAs say, you know, if I charge by the hour, I'm not making a lot of money. I'm not going to make money because, yeah. You know, the client's going to say, oh, $150 an hour for that? That's too expensive. All right. Mm-hmm. Like a tax return. All right. A lot of these people will go to H&R Block instead of paying mm-hmm. a CPA. So when I had a practice in Colorado, I was charging by, you know, a certain, you know, if I did this for them, then I charged that for that. Okay. And I really mm-hmm. did not want to get into discussions with clients on fees. I told them what I charge and that was it. And I'll tell you, the worst thing I ever did was I did a tax return in front of a client. All right. And I did the return in 20 minutes. All right. And when I told him what it was, he said, you only spent 20 minutes on it. So I that's when I realized, hey, you got to pay for my expertise. The longer mm-hmm. I've been in this business, I'm going to actually probably do the things even faster. All right. But yeah. I gave service. I've always believed you got to give service. All right. You can't just be an order taker. So if you're doing tax returns, all right, show the client that, hey, I got some ideas for you, okay? So that they don't think you're just there. Here's my shoebox of stuff. Prepare my tax return, all right? So I went to actually total, what do they call it, value added? What's the
sure, value pricing.
Value pricing. Is that what you recommend to most?
Yeah, so there's a lot in here in this question to unpack. And hourly, let's just start with hourly. It is a death trap. It is the worst thing for your business for reasons you just mentioned. The better you get, the less money you make. And that is absurd. It defies logic. So let's just skip right past the countless ways that hourly is tragic. You just named one. I think it's the best one. The better you get, the less money you make. I mean, you might, like, if you're going to run on hourly, you might as well go back to dial-up. You'd make more money. So where I think CPAs get hung up is this terminology of value pricing, right? And it gets talked about a lot in the industry, value pricing. And I think it's being taken as anything that's not hourly or cost plus is therefore value. And there's a lot more in pricing than just value pricing, right? There's segmented pricing, there's menu pricing, there's retainer, there's contingency. There are lots of different ways to price things. But at the moment where the conversation is that everything's just getting lumped into value in air quotes if it's not cost plus or hourly. And where that leaves a lot of CPAs is scratching their heads going, how do I price this? Value makes no sense. I don't know how to have the conversations with my clients. Value pricing is so large that to simply lump it into one thing is a detriment to getting CPAs off of hourly and things like cost plus. So I work with my clients on helping them be strategic on which of the pricing tools we are going to use to shift them off of cost plus and hourly. A really easy place to start is fixed and flat rate, same thing, which is what you're talking about, right? Doing a tax return, my tax returns are, call it what you want, $595, $1,200 for a business return. So that's all well and good, but there's not a lot of water in the sponge of tax returns. You just can't squeeze very much from that. The real value is where business owners are struggling, which is cash flow, forecasting, scenario planning, and so on. So if you really want to get into increasing value and therefore being able to raise prices comfortably without your clients squawking, it's in the direction of cash flow and forecasting for your clients. And bundled into those services is your tax return, is quarterly tax strategy and planning meetings and so on. So when we shift in that direction, suddenly pricing becomes easy. But you wouldn't know this if you were a CPA and just kind of trying to figure it out on your own, right? It really helps to have somebody who's done it for a bunch of other people to tell you, hey, here's what's going to work in this situation. Here's what's not going to work. Here's where you should go. So that was kind of a big answer, but there's a lot in that simple story that you told. There's a ton in there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I noticed for certain professions, lawyers, psychologists who do, you know, therapy, they actually all charge about the same price. And I always wondered, do you guys get together once a month and say, oh, I'm charging $450 for a 45-minute session? Well, then I'll charge about $425. But, you know, you don't have the prices being so different, all right? Accountants, everyone charges a different amount, all right? So then the question is, am I charging too little, too much? Well, obviously you'll find that out when you come to the end of the month, whether you can pay your bills or not, all right? So I often wondered, how do we get an accountant to be competitive, say in, all right, is Ketchum have a lot of CPAs?
I think there are six.
That's it, huh? But there's not a lot of businesses there.
I mean, there are a lot of businesses here. And when I say six, I mean, that's by survey of Google Maps, right? I kind of did a little curiosity test and there weren't very many. It certainly wasn't a dozen. There are a ton of businesses here. But none of the CPAs, as far as I can tell, have specialized.
Oh, interesting. What do they sort of, what do they just do? The financial statements and what type of work do they do?
So they look to be, with the exception of one who has a little, who's kind of going out in the direction of high net worth, because there's that's a thing here. Otherwise, appear from the outside looking in to be all-purpose CPAs. You know, people who can, like we were talking about in the green room, who can do manufacturing, who think that they can do manufacturing, a pharmacy, a restaurant, a consultant, you know, and can be all things to all people. So, which I think is really common, right? When I just do sort of casual Google searches around the country for CPAs, I come across the same kind of content on websites that's very generalized.
Well, people feel, CPAs feel comfortable, a lot of them, in that, because they figure, hey, they went to college, they know debits and credits, they'll still do the old write-up work, except that the clients today have computers, where back then, all right, I would run the financials. Most people now, if they're generalists, they just analyze the financials, if they know how to do that, and that's what they're making money. Also, tax returns. I think, what percentage of revenue comes from tax returns during the tax season on an average to a CPA firm? Do you happen to know?
I can give you numbers off of what I see when I work with my clients, and that's what I have access to. And it looks, what I see that I think is useful for listeners is when you take your clients' payments, their however much you bill them for, run an income by customer summary report, and throw that on a graph, right? Sort it in descending order and throw it on a graph. And it looks like a classic one y equals 1 over x curve, right? Where it's asymptotic, it hugs the y-axis on the left, and then it goes out and it hugs the x-axis going out to infinity on the right. And the vast majority, 70% of clients generate 30% of CPA revenue. So you've heard of 80-20. When I run 80-20 on my clients and their client roster and their billings, it's 70% of clients are required to make up about 30 or 20% of income. So you could take that and then say to yourself the opposite. Well, that means that with 20% of my clients, I could have about 70, 80% of my revenue. I could get rid of the rest of my clients. I'd have 20% of the original, get rid of the rest, and I would still have 70 to 80% of my revenue. So what does that say? That says, focus on who those clients are at the top end of the curve, figure out what you're doing for them, what they value, and understand what that client profile is, and then go out and find 20 or 50 more clients exactly like that top client. Stop trying to replicate the long tail of the 1 over X that's going way out to infinity that pays you $495 a year. This is a client that is just gumming up the works of your business. So where I think CPAs get stuck, and I can appreciate where they're coming from, is, you know, they are exposed to a lot of businesses, but all of us as business owners, regardless of what we got trained in, still have a lot to learn. And becoming a highly profitable business owner, even as a CPA, requires doing some of these things that they didn't get taught in accounting school. There's so much to learn in accounting school. There's all this conversation about cost accounting and should we keep it or should we jettison it? But what's not being taught is, how do I be an effective entrepreneur and business owner as a CPA? That is, as far as I can tell, when I look out across the industry, that must be missing, because so many CPAs as business owners are suffering.
Do you find that most of the CPAs today do have a niche versus being generalists? Is that what's going?
Yeah. No? Yeah, no, they're mostly all generalists.
Yeah.
Right? Find me a CPA who's a specialist. They are few and far between. Of course, there are some. And when you run the numbers, there are, you know, hundreds of thousands of CPAs across the country. So when you run the proportion, there are lots of in terms of raw numbers. But as a proportion, it's tiny. And I mean, I can't even find a CPA who specializes in coaches. I cannot find one. I've Googled the heck out of it. As far as I can tell, there is not one that exists. If you exist, call me, right? I have clients, I get them into specialties and niches. Like, for example, I have one in farming who lives in South Texas. All she does is 10,000 acre farms. I have another one who has specialized in creatives and ad agencies. I have another one who is specializing, I have two actually, specializing in real estate. I have another one who specializes in practice physicians. And potentially exotic cars, right? What a great place to be. How many CPAs specialize in business owners who understand the leasing of exotic cars? So it goes on like this. Once you get specialized, you don't have to work as hard. You don't have to understand the tax code all the way from Guam to Georgia, right? Because the other day I saw in a Facebook group a question that came up that was something like, I have a client who just moved back to the US from Guam. He's an American citizen. The wife is not. She's Guamian, whatever, forgive me.
Guamian, okay.
Guamian, right? She's not an American citizen. How do I handle their taxes? I don't know how to tax her. She's not a US citizen, but they're married, blah, 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 right? And then 5 minutes later, another question in the same group is, I have a client in Georgia who has rentals in Maryland. How do you tax commercial rental property in Maryland, right? I mean, think of the stretch, right, of tax code that one needs to understand when you're being a generalist. You've got to know tax code from Guam to Georgia. It's ridiculous. When you focus on a certain industry, you focus on understanding the tax code in that industry, and you don't have to know everything. Your time gets much more efficient. You become the go-to expert. When you become an expert, you add a lot more value. When you add a lot more value, you get to raise your prices. When you raise your prices, you don't have to work as hard to compensate for the fact that you're charging $240 an hour and probably not even recouping all of that anyways.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on YeagerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.